Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you, and if you're a guest from Andy's, I may have seen you before, but it's good to see you here as well. My name is Josh. I'm from Zimbabwe. I'm actually a member of this church, but I've also been helping out with Andy's Cafe. And the question we're thinking about this morning is, how can I be clean in God's eyes? When God looks at me, how do I know that he sees me, that he sees us as clean? And we're asking this question because it affects all of us. It's an important question for all of us. Unless we are clean in God's eyes, we can't actually be with God. What do we mean by that? Matt explained a bit earlier. We can all agree that actually sometimes it's not right to be dirty in some situations. So you might be from a culture or from families where it's important as you come into the house, you take off your shoes, the dirty shoes you are wearing outside, and you might get some other shoes to wear while you're inside because the dirty shoes are for outside. We don't take them into a clean house. When you're clean, you don't go into, when you're dirty, you don't go into a clean place. My mom tried to teach me this. Growing up in Zimbabwe, we had a nice garden, and me and my brother would love going and playing games, and sometimes, like Anika, playing hide-and-seek. I don't think we ever put chocolate on our face, but we did play around in the garden. We got very dirty, and the rule was, if you want dinner and you want to come in the clean house, you must wash yourself. So we'd have to wash our hands and rub off all the grass, scrub our feet under the water. We had to be clean. If you're dirty, stay outside. Only then did we dare come into the house. If we didn't want to wash ourselves, we stay outside. I'm not sure I've learned that, but I find myself teaching it to my daughter now. I had to catch her yesterday before she ran into the house after splashing in the puddles and take off dirty wellies and dirty clothes first before going into the clean house. God is good and perfect. He's loving. He's somebody that we would want to be with no matter what. But we are too dirty to be with God. The Bible tells us that in the very beginning, God made us perfect. We were clean. We were living with God. We were with him. But instead of following him, we rejected him. We said, no, we don't want to follow what you say. And in fact, we dishonored him. We brought shame to him and to ourselves by walking away from God, and we became dirty. We're too dirty to be with God. And you might think, well, I'm not dirty, or I'm not that dirty at least. Surely I'm clean enough. But the problem is, by ourselves, we can never be clean enough for God. Perhaps like me, you've been to someone's home, and when you arrive, you can see that the house is immaculate. The carpets are perfectly clean. Everything is in the right place, not a speck of dust everywhere. Fresh flowers all the time. As you walk into the house, you feel fine. You know, it's a normal day. But as soon as you enter the house, you think, my goodness, I'm so dirty. And you check behind you to see if there's any footprints on the carpet. Because you get into a clean place, and compared to that house where it's clean, you feel, I'm not quite clean enough. Let me just be careful where I sit. Let me be careful where I put my shoes. I'm definitely going to leave these shoes by the door because the house is spotless. And when we come to God, because he is holy, unlike any other person, he is absolutely perfect and good. When we compare ourselves to him, we see actually we are very dirty. We might look at somebody else and say, I'm not that bad. I'm okay. I mean, I'm a little bit dirty, but surely that's enough for me to approach God. But when we come near to God and we see how clean and perfect God is, you realize that everybody is dirty. We are all dirty because we've ignored God, because of how we've treated other people, because of the thoughts in our mind about others, because of the ways that we've lived in the world the ways that we've ignored God and dishonored him. The good news is that God doesn't just say, nope, stay outside, clean yourselves before you come in. He cares for us. He wants us to be able to come into his presence, to be with him. And he's provided a way for us to be clean. That's the good news this morning. So that's why we read that passage from John 13. And we're going to look at that passage again, which Ollie read so clearly. And we're going to see what the solution is that God has provided. Some of you may have a small sheet that has different languages. And if you'd like to read this in your own language, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to be reading this in a New International Reader's Version, and we'll have it on the front. So it's John 13, 3 to 9. And what's happening at the moment is Jesus is just about to have a meal with his followers. It's an important meal. It's the last meal before Jesus would die. And it's a bit of a formal meal. They're not just having a picnic. It's a formal meal where they're getting the food ready, and it's there. The food is ready. The room is prepared. They're about to sit down and eat, although they actually wouldn't have sat. Probably in these days, they would have leant over onto their elbow and used a hand to take food. They'd be on the floor. So as they were leaning towards the table, their feet would be out in a kind of circle. So they're getting ready, but there's one problem. There's nobody to wash feet. Now, this is something that people would do before a meal or if somebody had traveled for a long time, and it kind of happens in some countries today. In Zimbabwe, where I'm from, we don't wash feet, but before a proper meal, we do wash hands. So there are lots of things behind here. But somebody would come, and they would take a jug of water, like this, and they would have a basin, like this. And normally, it would be the person who is the youngest or the lowest in the group who would do that for the guest. Is anybody from a country where they've done this before? Would you like to come up and we can demonstrate? Do you want to come up, Ola? And before a meal, the youngest person would go around, starting with the most honored guest, and they would wash their hands. Hopefully, Nigeria and Zimbabwe are similar enough. And then dry his hands. And now, Ola is ready to eat. Thank you, Ola. This is something like what's happening with Jesus. The lowest person, the servant, and actually in this time, Jesus is with Jewish people, and they would say it is something which even a Jewish servant shouldn't do. It's for the lowest person, because they weren't just washing hands. They're washing feet. It's not a very nice job. People would have been walking around with sandals, no socks in those days, and feet would be quite dirty. In many cultures, feet are seen as unclean. So to wash your own feet is fine, but to wash somebody else's feet, that is a horrible job. And so this scene is amazing because of what Jesus does. He does something really surprising. So look at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything under his power. He also knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothes, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a large bowl, began to wash his disciples' feet. He dried them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus, by taking off his clothes, is actually becoming a bit like a servant. A servant would have just had a towel around his waist in this setting. Jesus is getting ready to wash their feet. And this is really surprising. Jesus is a famous teacher. Many people who knew him during this time thought he was sent from God. He was going to come and do something amazing. They weren't quite sure what. but they thought he was going to do something amazing. And also, Jesus was the host. Jesus was hosting the meal for his followers. The host doesn't wash your feet. But here, Jesus gets up and washes their feet. And actually, it's more surprising than that, because Jesus is the Son of God, the highest person there. His followers must have been really shocked. Jesus, their teacher and master, washing their feet. Probably nobody else volunteered, because maybe they were happy to wash each other's feet. They were probably about similar. But to wash Jesus' feet, that would be an honor. And yet here's Jesus washing their feet. Can you imagine what it must be like to be one of Jesus' followers while he's washing their feet? What must they have felt? There must have been an embarrassed silence as Jesus goes around the circle, taking off their sandals and washing their feet. And then Jesus gets to a man called Peter. And Peter can't keep quiet. I'm sure he says what all of them were thinking. So in verse 6, it says that Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter says this, "Lord," Peter said to him, "are you going to wash my feet?" How could he let his master, whom he loved so much, do something so horrible? "No, don't wash my feet. It's too humiliating for you." But Jesus turns this incident into something much more than just washing feet, and more than just teaching them to be humble and to be willing to do things which others aren't. Jesus is not just teaching them a lesson. He tells Peter that he's washing their feet for another reason. Washing their feet is a symbol about something else. By washing their feet, he was teaching them something else that would happen. So Jesus replies to Peter, "You don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." When Jesus says you will understand later, he's referring to what will happen to him in just a few days. He's talking about his death, when he would be sent to die as a punishment, like a criminal, even though he had done nothing wrong. Jesus, who is perfectly clean, would be sent to die. That's what it means in verse 3, at the beginning, when it says that Jesus knew the Father had put everything in his power. He also knew he had come from God and was going back to God. God had sent him for this purpose, to die on the cross, and he was going back to God. When he died, he made a way for us to be clean. He paid for all those bad things that make us dirty. Now, I'm sure we can all think of times when somebody else has paid for something that we should have paid for. They've maybe fixed something that we've ruined. My dad once paid for something which I had done. When I was a teenager, I thought I was quite a good driver. And I had just got my license, and we were in our own driveway. And I just reversed in the car around the corner. I thought, I've done this lots of times. I can do it. And as I turned around the corner, I smashed the front of the car into the corner of the house. I was so ashamed. And when I saw the damage, I didn't want to tell my parents. So I straightened the car up and parked it, locked it, put the keys away, and I thought, they won't notice. Of course, they found out. And my parents are very kind. My dad was upset that I had done it, but he was more upset that I didn't tell him. And he said, "I will sort it out. I will fix it. Don't worry." What he was really saying was, "I will pay for it. I will make it so that you don't have to pay for that. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to feel ashamed about it even, because now that we know about it, we have forgiven you." In a way, he had made me clean by paying for something that I had done. This is what Jesus does on the cross. Jesus dies on the cross and comes back to life, and all of those bad things that make us dirty can be washed away. All the things that we do wrong against God when we ignore him and dishonor him, all the times that we don't listen to him and do what we want, Jesus' death washes all of that away. So by washing his followers' feet, Jesus is showing them that when he dies, later, after he has died, they will understand that he hasn't come just to wash their feet. He's come to wash them so that they can be clean before God. Only he can really wash them when they trust him. But Peter doesn't understand this yet. So Peter says in response to Jesus, "No, you will never wash my feet." We might understand now because we know about Jesus' death. We might understand a little bit. And we still, like Peter, might say, "No, don't wash my feet." Perhaps we think, "I'm not dirty." We forget how clean God is. I think if we are honest with ourselves, we all know we're not clean. We've done things that are wrong. We might feel embarrassed to admit what we've done. We feel ashamed. Maybe I can just keep it hidden. Maybe, like Peter, we might be embarrassed for Jesus to see our dirty feet, like I was embarrassed for my parents to see what I had done. We don't want to admit that we're dirty, and so we say, "Don't wash my feet." In a sense, we're saying, "They're clean enough." Or perhaps we think we can clean ourselves, like Anika did, trying to wash her face. But on a much more serious level, we think that we can just do good things, or we can try and mend the wrong things we have done. We can try and make things a little better so that we're mostly clean. And those bad things we have done, they'll just be on the side. So when Peter says to Jesus, "You will never wash my feet," Jesus then says very, very clearly, "Unless I wash you, you can't share life with me." The fact is, if we want to be with God, we need to let Jesus wash us. This means we say to Jesus, "I trust you to clean me. I trust that when you died on the cross, you paid for all of the bad things I have done. You've made me clean, and I want to follow you." That's what it means to be washed by Jesus, when we commit ourselves to him and say, "You can wash me, and I trust you for that." Peter maybe doesn't understand exactly what Jesus is referring to. But Peter does know one thing. He loves Jesus a lot. So in verse 9, Peter says, "Lord, not just my feet, wash my hands and my head too." And I think he probably would have means, "Wash all of me. Then if it means by washing my feet, I can be with you. What happens if you wash all of me? How close will we be then?" And Peter's response is exactly right. That's what we can say to Jesus. "Wash all of me, make me clean." That's how we should respond to Jesus. And everybody can respond to Jesus like this, if we let him into our lives to make us clean. So when we meet God, we won't feel like we're going into a place which is too clean and it's not really our home. In fact, when Jesus washes us, we can go into God's presence knowing that we are clean. It doesn't mean that every Christian you meet is perfect. Christians are not. But it means that to be a Christian means to be clean. It means also that we know Jesus will keep helping us to live in the right way. It doesn't mean that we are clean in this world, we never do bad things, but it means in God's eyes, we are clean. There are many, many more stories about Jesus and about God in the Bible where we can learn about how Jesus does this and understand more and more how amazing it is for Jesus to wash us clean. I would encourage you, if you haven't read the Bible, to read a Bible. And if you would like to read one in your own language, please come chat to me after the service. I would love to give you a Bible in your own language if I can. Perhaps ask a Christian friend and say, I don't quite understand the Bible, but I'd like to read it. Can you help me understand it? Can we read it together and maybe chat together what that's like? Or perhaps you actually want to ask Jesus to make you clean, and you want to find out more. What does it mean to be clean? How can I become clean in God's eyes? Please come chat to me, come chat to Matt, come chat to one of your Christian friends, and just say, how can I do this? How can I ask Jesus to come and make me clean?